First of all, it's a real pleasure to be back. And as you know, we are having classes in two sessions. The first class is on the lay apostolate, and the second is on the angels and demons. You'll be receiving each class the manuscript as it is written of the Catechism, first of all on the lay apostolate, and secondly the Catholic Catechism on the angels. It happens that this semester, starting in February, I will also be having teleconferences on the angels and demons. You will, however, not be an overlapping of the content. There is so much to say about both the angels.
Please wait another 60 seconds during this technical delay. Thank you.
Out from the Vakulta, which is the official collection of the Church's prayers, and a list there of about 10, 20, 30 prayers to the angels. Now, these prayers in time can be made available for those who want them. In any case, just to see that the Church does have an extensive devotion to the angels. Then you received a printout of an article that I wrote way back in 1953. Can you imagine? 43 years ago, on Karl Barth and prayer. I announced this at the closing of our class last semester. As I believe I mentioned then, the most authentically Protestant theologian in modern times was Karl Barth. And remember, in historic Protestantism, we do not ask God to give us grace. We either have received the grace by absolute predestination, or we don't get it. In any case, it will be worth reading my own commentary on Karl Barth's explanation of prayer in general and the Lord's Prayer in particular. And one reason I believe that we Americans are not praying more is because we have become so, shall I say, Protestantized. In any case, do read this article on Karl Barth. We now begin our first of the two courses on the lay apostolate. May I ask, up to what question have you received for today? Up to question?
Seven.
Seven? Very good. What I would like to do with you then, now it has increased to
eight.
I would like to go with you using the material you've been received, what you've received on the lay apostolate, both this course and the second course on the angels. I am making it into a catechism for publication. We begin by noting that for the first time in 2,000 years, the Catholic Church has convened a general council to deal specifically with the subject of the lay apostolate. It is one of the longest documents of the Second Vatican Council. We might wonder why. Why has the Church waited so many centuries before publishing, I repeat, the first conciliar document exclusively on the lay apostolate? Already in apostolic times, as we know from the letters of St. Paul, the apostles and their successors could never have extended the kingdom of Christ, the Church, without constant cooperation from the laity. As we see during the course, for the first time again in the Church's history, the new canon law, Code of Canon Law, published by the present Holy Father on the first Sunday of Advent in 1983. There are numerous canons which are the names for the laws of the Church on both the rights and the responsibility of the laity. By the end of the first century, as your notes will indicate, there were over 100 dioceses established around the shores of the Mediterranean. And that was only the beginning. One reason I am convinced why the Church, after so many centuries, is still less than one-fifth of the human race. And one reason, I repeat, is that the laity have not been as deeply involved as they had been in the early Church in working for the extension of Christ's kingdom on earth. Now we ask, why? Why are the lay apostolates so important in our day? The first and main reason is the growth, development we call it, in the understanding of the role of the laity in preserving, extending, and sanctifying the Church. In my conversations, I'm sure I've quoted before, the Archbishop of Moscow, two weeks ago yesterday, I was in an all-day conference on the Russian Commission. And just to anticipate, I'm on the board of directors, and my job is to find dedicated lay people who are working and willing to work for the conversion of Russia. I'm told in Moscow, plane loads pouring in to Moscow. You name the sectarian group. Southern Baptists. All kinds of cults. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, pouring into Russia. And the Archbishop asked me, but where are the Catholics? In any case, the need for spreading the faith has never been greater, and Christ makes sure that the faith is correspondingly more deeply understood as the needs increase. What then is the first reason for this document on the lay apostolate? It is that in a measure that I would say has not been known since the early centuries of Christianity, the church now understands more clearly, more deeply, not only how useful, not even how necessary, how indispensable is the role of the laity in the apostolate for the future. The largest concentration of Muslims in the whole New World is in Detroit, Michigan. And let me tell you, they are deeply affecting and penetrating the thinking of our metropolitan area. We continue. Why is our century the beginning of a new age in the church's history as far as the lay apostolate is concerned? Because of the most powerful impact of the media of communications, the largest, deepest, most powerful means of communication ever known in the history of the world. I'm sure I've said this on more than one occasion. 72-73, when Pope Paul VI then sent his emissary to the United States to wake American Catholics up to what's going on. Said Paul VI, either American Catholics wake up to the need of getting control of the media, or the Catholic Church will not survive in America. Unquote, Paul VI. And the media in our country, as I'm sure you know, are many and controlled by those who do not. What a safe statement. Share our faith. Now, quoting from the document, in his document on social communications, another much neglected document of Vatican II, called in Latin Inter Mirifica, which means among the marvels. That document says, among the marvels of the Holy Spirit has inspired the world to discover. R, the media of social communication. And the main purpose, let me quote, the Catholic Church was founded by Christ our Lord to bring salvation to all men. She feels obliged, therefore, to preach the gospel. In the same way, she believes that her task involves employing the means of social communication to announce the good news of salvation and to teach men how to use them properly, unquote, Inter Mirifica. One of the surest ways of losing your Catholic faith is spend a couple of hours each day watching television indiscriminately. Guaranteed, you will lose your Catholic faith. And these media, which should be used, so the council decreed, for the extension of Christ's kingdom on earth, are in control by those, I repeat, who are not only not Christians or Catholics, but are positively hostile to what we believe. To this day, the bishops of the United States, with millions of dollars at their disposal, have yet to control, own a single television network for the propagation of the Catholic faith. And it took a nun, you know whom I'm talking about. As I tell men, it took a woman now she ever have a strong will and without the lay people working with her, it would be impossible. Her television network in the United States reaches daily 11 million. Our network, reaching now over 40 nations, reaches, again, over 40 million people every day. We continue. Why? Why do we need the lay apostolate as we've never needed it before? The modern world is experiencing nothing less than a knowledge explosion. And then I quote some books about the revolution in knowledge. More information, deeper insight has been gained in our century than all the previous centuries of man's existence. Needless to say, all the Christian faithful are affected by this knowledge explosion. All the while that we speak of a cosmic growth in knowledge, we ought to keep in mind that the teaching of Christ remains essentially unchanged. Ah, but hear it. And, dare I say, and weep. One nominally Catholic university after another, how well I know. Since my ordination, I have taught only in universities. How well I know. The students, I repeat, I repeat, in nominally Catholic colleges and universities are learning everything about everything except what? Except their faith. And what happens? As your mothers and fathers know, by the time children finish, I don't see the university. Already grammar school or high school. The more they learn about this world, and the less they know about the real world for which we were made, they discard their Catholic faith as a remnant of their childhood. Someone had better teach the Catholic faith. And since our last meeting last month, I want to report that our International Association of Catholic Catechists has been approved by the Holy See. In fact, the Holy See wants it. Did I tell you we have 11 bishops now, including the bishop-elect of Lansing, Michigan? But over the 3 years of forming his international association, the focus is on training the laity. We've closed 85% of our Catholic schools. We've lost, hear it, 90,000 religious women since the Second Vatican Council. Somebody had better both know the faith and teach it. Then the Second Vatican Council declared, now the Catholic Church is the universal sacrament of salvation. These are the words, kind of pleased to know, gosh, I never realized that, without putting two and two together. That'd make it simpler, without putting one and one together and coming up with two. The Catholic Church is indeed the universal sacrament of salvation. A sacrament is a channel of grace. Who forms most of the Catholic Church? Obviously, the lay faithful. What, as I've said so many times, is about a 2 mile walk to the doctor that I used to. I lived at the university, now living at the parish rectory of Jesu. I counted 14 storefront Protestant churches along McNichols Road. And those that are not Catholic are zealous. Somebody had better both know the faith and share it. Otherwise, as the Holy Father has been telling me through his secretary now for years, otherwise the Catholic Church will disappear in America. Unquote, Pope John Paul II. Do you still hear me? Making me living in a fool's paradise. Our plan for this catechism, that's what I'm doing. It will cover not only, but mainly, this document. And as we had done, remember, with two previous documents of the Holy Father, where we taught his splendor, splendor of the truth, and Evangelium Vitae, the gospel of life. I will go through these here, this document, and then pull out specific areas that I think are the most important, formulate them in questions, and follow the question with, I hope, a pointed answer based on the Church's teaching. Our plan then for this catechism, and by the end of the course, with God's grace, all I need, first thing, is God's grace. My most important treasure in life is time. I hope to finish both catechisms by the time we finish the course at the end of May. February, March, April, and May. And what we'll do, as we have been doing, is go over the questions, then the answers you have in front of you, then we'll make commentary on the answer and try to make it as practical, as concrete as possible. But you won't expect me to say what I'm going to say next. I'm under orders of the Holy See to find and train and organize zealous lay Catholics to become lay apostles. As one of the bishops wrote to me, I have 3,000 people in my diocese teaching CCD, which is almost an unknown term nowadays, the confraternity of Christian doctrine. They all need instruction. In other words, this semester will not be, pardon me, an academic sit-in. My hope and prayer is that, in your own way, both individually and as families, that you will then want to be trained and not necessarily going to Russia. Though I want to include that. Not necessarily, say, going to Fargo, North Dakota. One of the bishops there needs help. Or Archbishop Rigali of St. Louis. He needs help. My very good friend, Bishop Templeton of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He said, I need help. And I repeat, all that I'm sharing with you, I'm under orders to talk this way. Okay? And I took a vow, my fourth vow as a Jesuit, is to obey the Holy Father in the teaching of religion. That's my vow. This, therefore, this catechism is intended to serve as a basic manual for the International Association of Catholic Catechists, the Catholic Faith magazine, now bimonthly, by the way, is doing well. Subscriptions are increasing. And may I ask, have copies been distributed describing also? If you haven't subscribed, please subscribe to the magazine. Now, there's one more issue, which I got express mail, left it in the office. This is on the development of doctrine. And the last one, just out a few days ago. And one of our plans is to always have a bishop contribute to each issue. Holy G tells me, get to the bishops, comma, get to the bishops, comma, get to the bishops. And that, my dear friends in Christ, means you get to the bishops. The magazine is a companion, therefore, first of all, to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. From January to October, you've seen that book called Faith. Did we use it last semester? Well, by October of this past year, sold 16,000 copies. I just got a copy of the Portuguese translation published in São Paulo in Brazil. And the plan, I repeat, is to form an international association. And I'm confident from such dedicated families as will labor zealously for the extension of Christ's kingdom, to also come good, strong vocations to the priesthood and the religious life. We go on. Now the introduction to the Catechism itself. The Church, founded by Christ, can never be without the lay apostolate. Why not? Because every Christian has a vocation to extend the true faith in the minds and hearts of others. Let me say a few words. This, by the way, is the Church's teaching. Every Christian, surely every Catholic, with the fullness of the Christian faith, has a vocation. You receive that vocation when you are baptized. The call to extend the true faith in the minds and hearts of others. I may have put it in other words before, but I'll say it as explicitly as I know how. Either you work to extend Christ's kingdom on earth, or you will not reach heaven. And we repeat. Either you labor to extend Christ's kingdom on earth, or you will not reach heaven. And we know that infallibly from Christ. Remember, discourse just before his passion, 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Those who will be saved will be called, come possess the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. I was hungry, you gave me to eat. Thirsty, you gave me to drink. Homeless, you gave me a lodging. Naked, you clothed me. Without the practice of charity, nobody reaches heaven. Well, charity means providing people with what they need. What do they need more than to have their minds nourished by Christ's truth? What do they need more than their hearts nourished by Christ's love? The West Coast state that approved euthanasia, which means voluntary suicide and then taking the life of an innocent human being is just the beginning. In case you didn't know, the state of Michigan, and which state was it that voted in euthanasia and voluntary suicide?
Washington.
For years, these two states have been working together. Michigan and Washington State. And the decision was, you in Washington, you start. And we provide you in Michigan with the propaganda. Why should anyone want to take their life? Or take the life of someone else? If you don't believe there's a life after what we call death, and I repeat and I shout, no human being dies, period. Our body dies, our soul remains alive, but you have to believe that. Otherwise, the trials and sufferings of this life are worse than meaningless. Present-day circumstances demand from the laity an apostolate that is more broad and more intense than ever before in the history of Christianity. When we mentioned before, there was a constant increase in population. Another reason for the lay apostolate. I checked my figures. Every 2 seconds, 9 babies are born and 3 people die. That increase, therefore, every second is how many? 6 people. That increase is a growth in world population of 250,000 per day, or 18 million per week. Since 1950, the world population has increased by over 3 billion. As we've also said, there's a constant progress in science and technology and a shrinking of the gaps that have kept people apart. And now, Oriental thought is deeply penetrating American culture. The New Age movement is nothing else but Hinduism in what was once Christian America. And when we have, as we do now have, a national convention of, well, the Catholics teaching religion, the keynote speaking being given by one of the leading women leaders of the New Age movement. Or as you may have heard, in Los Angeles, a massive convention on promoting, shall we still call it, catechetics. And the keynote speaker will be our well-known friend, Bishop Ontner of Saginaw, Michigan. For now, my 26th year, the Holy See keeps telling me train the laity, inspire the laity, organize the laity to save the church. I couldn't be more frank or more open. There is a constant progress in science and technology, and the correspondingly shrinking gap between people, different parts of the world. All of this has immense influence on the role that God wants. Not I'm telling you, Christ is telling you. He wants lay people to be involved in sharing, teaching, spreading the faith. And most of this is open only to the laity. Have they become, that's you, more academically educated? You've got no choice. You have to grow in your corresponding understanding of the faith. Otherwise, you'll just be further casualties in the already mounting number of ex-Catholics in our nation. We now begin our catechism. We begin, why did Christ found the church? And I repeat, the AA, by the way. The AA after each answer stands for two unusual Latin words. Apostolicam actuositatem. That's the official Latin title of this document on the laity. And it means in Latin, well, what it reads, but the English translation is apostolic, not just activity. In Latin, activity is activitas. That's where we got our word activity. 90% of our English words are taken from Latin. Do you hear me? 90%. It means apostolic actuosity, zealous, laborious. That's the difference between activity and actuosity. I doubt if the word actuosity is even in the English language. But is it? Should be there. The zealous, laborious, activity of the laity. And my teachers, I've said more than once at 6 Protestant seminaries, believe me, those people there are zealous. Why did Christ found the church? Well, answer, or better, the answer of the council approved by Paul VI. Christ founded the church as his kingdom on earth in order to provide all men with the means they need for their redemption and salvation. Let's hear it again. Christ founded the church as his kingdom on earth. Why? To provide all men, everyone, with what? With the means they need to be redeemed and saved. The salvation of the human race depends on the church. No two people have received the same amount of grace. But hear it. the principal source of grace for us is other people. The principal source of grace for others is us. Bad grammar, but good English. Except for my believing mother, I don't see I wouldn't be a Catholic. I wouldn't be a priest. And knowing my stubborn will, or as my novice master told me, I think I told you, 2 months after entering the Jesuits, sit down. Your fellow novices tell me you are an intellectual bully. I just assumed that I was more intelligent than they were. But I was stupid in displaying the intelligence that God gave me.